Good morning, and welcome to the Piatt County Journal Republican edition for Wednesday, December 11th, 2024. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and today is Wednesday, December 18th, 2024. Top of the front page, we learn about a wonderful Christmas Village display in Ogden. Roberta Morris's childhood dream was to be an architect. Instead, she worked as a pipe fitter at the Clinton Nuclear Power Plant, and her dream was forgotten in order to take care of her little sister. Decades later, Morris is getting to live out her dream, but in a slightly different way. Now she works as a type of city planner with her own Christmas Village display. Morris, who previously lived in DeLand for 20 years, has moved her Christmas Village to the Ogden Rose Library. The display has more than 500 houses and hundreds more people, vehicles, animals, and trees. The display took more than a month to set up. Some of the local guys helped me unload, she said, and one of the librarians even built me shelves. This year, Morris played, carved mountains, and did anything her imagination could come up with. Morris said the display is different every year. She said anything that was in the front of the display last year, she tries to move to the back the next year. She also moves items around each year. For example, the North Pole is in a different location this year than it was previously. Ogden Rose Library Director Allison Wakefield said the village was amazing. We're so honored to have her village at the Ogden Rose Library, she said. The Onward Ogden Events and Festival Committee is sponsoring the village, which includes scenes from a 1950s-era Christmas. Morris said she'd been looking for people who love the Christmas Village as much as she does and will keep it going in the future. After 3 years now, she said, people are starting to get the bug. It means so much to me that there are people that are going to continue this. In fact, she has entered into an agreement with the library to display her Christmas Village there for the next 5 years. In the meantime, the small town Christmas display will be available for you to see from noon to 7 p.m. on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays, and Sundays from now through December 22nd at the Ogden Rose Library, which is located at 103 West Main Street in Ogden. Do come out and see this beautiful bit of Christmas memorabilia. Also on today's front page, we learn that the Monticello High School Madrigals are marking their 50th year. This article by Joey Wright. The same costumes that Monticello High School's Madrigal singers wore for their first show are still in use today. That's 50 years. It's a testament to the vision shared by Lynn Wenzel, Monticello's longtime choral director, and his wife Martha, who crafted the Renaissance-era costumes out of upholstery fabrics before the program's first dinner in 1975. Who would have guessed that 50 years later, the number of people that it has touched and how it has blossomed? 1979 Monticello High School graduate Tim Heck said, 5 decades later, Monticello's Madrigals are celebrating their 50th anniversary this year. Before this year's group of 21 students hosted their annual dinners on December 13th and 14th, or performed at the Allerton Park's Holiday Showcase, some 120 Madrigal alumni and the current crop of the Madrigal Sages were on hand for a 50th anniversary reunion at the Seaver Center on November 17th. Somebody was sitting right behind the two of them, and they said that Martha turned to him, grabbed his hand, and said, "I'm so proud of you," Heck said. The alumni, we all get choked up because she was always behind the scenes. She never, ever took credit for anything. Organizers went to great lengths to ensure that the event didn't look like a hastily formed choir concert in the middle of a high school gym. Instead, it kept the feel of a typical Madrigal event, designed to send attendees back in time to a Renaissance-era celebration. Madrigal dinners typically include 15 to 20 songs centered around a holiday feast. Oddly enough, the sound was amazing, Heck said. Sometimes you get to a gym and the sound is not quite right. They have acoustic tiles hung up there, and everything is based on the height of the ceiling. All those things contribute to how the sound works, but it was a great sound. Madrigal dinners have long held a special meaning for Heck, who used Wenzel's template while teaching at Rolling Meadows High School in 1986. Years later, one of Heck's former students started another dinner, based on Heck's tribute to Wenzel's dinners at the nearby Prospect High School. "I would tell my kids back when I was teaching, this is a professional thing, right?" Heck said. "People are spending $60 a couple to come. They're not expecting some mediocre caroling. They're expecting a production." Shaw was well suited to take the reins of the long-held tradition when she arrived in Monticello nearly two decades ago. Having previously taken part in Madrigal dinners at Illinois State University and as a student teacher in Morton, Illinois. But she wasn't prepared to remain involved with the dinners nearly two decades later. "The longer I was here, the less I wanted to seek anything elsewhere," Shaw said. "Getting to direct this group for 19 years has been an honor. At this point, I feel like I'm a steward of the traditions from the past 50 years. It's my job to take care of those and to be sure that more students get to experience them." Freshmen aren't usually included in the group, within which spots are competitive to find. Sophomores, juniors, and seniors make up the latest group of singers who spent the morning and early afternoon of Wednesday, the start of the feast season, singing carols at different stops around Monticello. "Our group is really special, I think, at the high school, because we actually meet outside of school hours in the mornings before school," said Monticello senior Tatum Wishes. "We start rehearsing in the summer and rehearse all the way up until the dinners, which are super special." Wishes has been involved with the group for 3 years as she prepares to sing at her final Madrigal dinner. She met a few people that have worn her same green costume in the past, complete with stories of every small rip, tear, or imperfection. "I met a couple of people who have worn my costume," she said. "It was funny because they're showing me these pictures of them, and the dress is kind of different. And they're pointing out little rips in the dress. It's actually a lot of fun." A group of singers also dedicated a carol to Heck and Shaw while the duo was dining at the Brown Bag in late November. Heck, who owns Brackett & Company in Monticello, was taken by surprise. Shaw said that the kids really genuinely were moved by being a part of this alumni concert, Heck said, and that wouldn't have happened if she hadn't initially planted the seed, like, "We need to do this." In turn, Heck and other alumni who have taken part in Monticello's long-held holiday tradition have started to give back in the form of a scholarship in Lynn and Mary Wenzel's honor to send a Monticello student to summer music camp. Those students would come back to the Madrigal singers, and they'd be better singers, better leaders, and more invested, Heck said. And who knows, when you go to those camps, you're around tons of other people with the exact same passion that you have about your activity. That might spark a kid to go into music education who maybe wasn't initially thinking about it. Caroling continued for Monticello's Madrigal singers during a busy season when the group performed at local schools and before a big crowd of Rotarians at the Monticello Community Building. It marked a rewarding start to the holiday season for Wishes and her classmates. It's just my favorite Christmas tradition here in Monticello, which is said, I think it's really special. Today's community news and notes start off with a reminder that a Red Cross blood drive is going to be held on December 23rd. That's a Monday, from noon to 5:30 p.m. at the Monticello Community Building. Please call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit the website redcrossblood.org to make an appointment. You'll get a t-shirt for your donation. This holiday season, give the gift of life. Next up, the Bement Salvation Army has been staffing donation kettles. The Bement unit of the Salvation Army staffed kettle stands with bell ringers on the weekend of December 13th. Staffing for bell ringing is accomplished with volunteer assistance, and added help is always welcome. Please call or text 217-649-0925 if you would like to ring a bell. Donations are used to assist local families during the holiday season and throughout the year, and the Salvation Army hopes to be able to do even more with your help in 2024-25. Once again, all the bell ringers are volunteers, and you'd be welcome to join. Next up, Allerton Park has announced the dates and topics for their 2025 Supper Club. The Supper Club was created to build a community through shared love of food, arts, and education. Each dinner features a local artisan chef and specially crafted menu, plus a chance to hear from and interact with the chef. Supper Club membership costs $100 per person per supper, and includes all five dinners, as well as an early access cocktail hour and complimentary perks. Following are the dates and topics for the 2025 Supper Club. Saturday, January 18th, will feature Chef Benny Del Valle. Saturday, March 15th, Chef Leah Bodine and Chef Chris Always. Friday, May 2nd, features Chef Blake Briggs. On Saturday, September 6th, Prairie Fruits Farm and Creamery will host. And on Friday, November 7th, the host will be Chef D'Angelo Newsom. To become a member of the Supper Club and get access to all five Supper Club dates, please just call at 217-333-3287. Tickets are now on sale. Allerton Park Mansion also invites you to join in their 2025 Historical Happy Hours, where you can sip your favorite beverage in the beautifully renovated solarium of the mansion and learn about the history of Allerton Park and the Allerton family. The History Happy Hours are scheduled on Thursday evenings, January 23rd, February 20th, March 20th, and April 17th from 5 to 6 p.m. During each event, Visitor Center Coordinator Sarah Putman will highlight a new historical topic related to Allerton Park. You can register for one presentation or the entire series. A cash bar will be open from 5 to 6 p.m. on each date, and each historical happy hour is $5 per person. Here are the dates and the topics for 2025. On January 23rd, the Oakley Dam crisis will be discussed. On February 20th, Allerton and the Art Institute of Chicago is the topic. On March 20th, the topic will be original pieces at Allerton. And on April 17th, the topic will be the Friends of Robert Allerton. You can register at the website, which is called Eventbrite, all one word, and Bright is spelled BRITE.com, and look for the link to the History Happy Hour tickets. Also announcing more holiday events is the C.H. Moore Homestead, which is hosting Christmas tours each year during the holiday season. The C.H. Moore Homestead in DeWitt County Museum is decorated in full Victorian splendor, illuminated by candles and filled with music. For many, the candlelight tours have become a treasured Christmas tradition. This year's decorating theme is Christmas Fantasy. There is only one candlelight tour still open, and it will take place on Friday evening, December 20th, from 5 to 8 p.m. In addition, the museum gift shop will be open during the extended candlelight tour hours. Next up, the ALICE program, A-L-I-C-E, is now available to Piatt County. The United Way of Decatur and Mid-Illinois has partnered with Dove Financial Assistance to provide their ALICE program. ALICE, A-L-I-C-E, stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, and Employed. This means that the ALICE program will assist working individuals and families with limited to no savings who are living paycheck to paycheck and who have an unforeseen financial crisis that threatens to plunge them into poverty. These individuals and families are known as the ALICE group. Again, asset limited, income constrained, but employed. We have continued to broaden our footprint in Piatt County with local programs, including 211 information referral hotline for finding local services, and the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, which provides 12 free books a year to any child up to 5 years of age. Partnering with Dove Financial Assistance in Piatt County for the ALICE program was a logical choice. The groups can work together to assist working families in Piatt County, according to Debbie Vogel, who is president of the United Way of Decatur and Mid-Illinois. The goal of this partnership is to keep working members of our community moving towards self-sufficiency and not into poverty. State and federal assistance programs provide financial assistance to members of our community whose earnings are less than the federal poverty line. For more information, please contact Debbie Vogel at 217-422-8537, or you can email her at dvogel@uwdecatur.org. Today's paper includes three obituaries. The first honors Gloria J. Finson, age 78, of Monticello, who passed away on Thursday, December 5th, at the Piatt County Nursing Home in Monticello. Memorial services were held on December 11th at the Mackie Wright Funeral Home, and interment will be private. Next, we remember Barbara J. Hollinger, age 90, of Monticello, who passed away on Tuesday, December 3rd, at the Arbor Rose Memory Care in Monticello. Visitation was held on Monday, December 9th, with a funeral service at Calvary Baptist Church of Monticello, with interment in the Monticello Township Cemetery. Next, we remember Bradley Todd Lake, age 53, of Monticello, who passed away on November 23rd in Chesterfield, Missouri, though he grew up in White Heath and later in Monticello. A celebration of Brad's life will be announced at a later date. And congratulations are in order for two Monticello residents. The first is Seth E. Floyd, who has been appointed president of the Illinois Association of Court Clerks. The Illinois Association of Court Clerks, known as the IACC, has announced the selection of Seth E. Floyd of Monticello as its new association president. Floyd, who has served as the Piatt County Circuit Clerk since 2018, is the first association president from Piatt County in the history of the organization, which dates back to 1942 and has member representation from all 102 counties in Illinois. As president, Floyd will lead the association in supporting court clerks statewide. The association also provides professional development opportunities to its members and advocates for effective legislative policies that enhance court operations and public service. Floyd has been an active member of the association and has served on multiple boards and committees in addition to hosting the 2024 IACC Fall Training Conference in Champaign. In Piatt County, Floyd has been instrumental in advancing the use of technology in his office, including overseeing the creation of a mobile phone application and by securing State of Illinois grant funding totaling over $150,000 to provide new personal computers, servers, document scanners, and alternative power sources within the circuit clerk's office. Additionally, Seth Floyd has overseen the implementation of an electronic traffic citation program in Piatt County, which has led to increased officer safety and reduced spending through the elimination of paper traffic files. He was reelected to a new 4-year term as Piatt County Circuit Clerk in November 2024. Our congratulations to Seth Floyd on this wonderful appointment. The second Monticello residence to earn recognition recently is Nick Nichols, who has been named Illinois VFW Member of the Year. Nick is from Monticello and was named the 2024 Department of Illinois Veterans of Foreign Wars Member of the Year. Nichols, a member of the Piatt County VFW Post 5346 in Monticello, was selected as the 2024 recipient out of approximately 37,000 VFW members in the state of Illinois. His nomination detailed the countless hours he has volunteered towards veterans' causes and also referenced his book, Monticello Veterans History Project, which includes portraits of 52 Monticello veterans and a short sketch on how each of them entered the service and their experiences from serving. Nichols is eligible for the VFW as an Army veteran who served in Vietnam at Can Tho in 1967-68. He was presented with Distinguished Service Medals and Certificates of Service from Brett Nila and Maurice Bridges, the two most recent Illinois VFW commanders. The VFW is the largest and oldest combat veteran service organization in the United States. Piatt County Post 5346 in Monticello is the only VFW post in Piatt County and has received All-American Post National Honors for an unprecedented 5 consecutive years as one of the top VFW posts in the nation. The VFW is always accepting new members from all military conflicts, regardless of age, branch of service, or the actual action a veteran was part of. Prospective members can find more information on their post and prospective membership by visiting their Facebook page, which is at Piatt County VFW Post 5346, or you can email them at the Piatt County VFW 5346 at gmail.com. Or you are welcome to attend the monthly meeting, which is held at 102 East Livingston Street in Monticello on the second Tuesday of each month at 7 p.m. Congratulations to both Nick Nichols and Seth Floyd for these outstanding recognitions. Also having been recently recognized for outstanding service, the Kirby Medical Center has earned the 2024 Performance Leadership Awards from the Chartis Center for Rural Health. As part of National Rural Health Day, Kirby Medical Center recently announced that it has earned two 2024 Performance Leadership Awards for Excellence in Quality and Patient Perspectives. Compiled by the Chartis Center for Rural Health, the Performance Leadership Awards recognize top quartile performance, that is, performance at the 75th percentile or above, among rural hospitals in quality, outcomes, and patient perspective. It is wonderful to be recognized not only by Chartis for outstanding quality and patient satisfaction, but also recognized by our own patients for the care they have received. We are blessed by the team we have at Kirby Medical Center, and these awards recognize them for the difference they make every day, said Steve Tenhouse, Kirby Medical Center Chief Executive Officer. The Performance Leadership Awards are based on the results of the Chartis Rural Hospital Performance Index, a comprehensive and objective framework for assessing how rural hospitals are performing. Index benchmarks are relied upon by rural hospitals, health systems with rural footprints, hospital associations, and state offices of rural health to measure performance across multiple areas impacting hospital operations and finance. The Performance Leadership Awards capture the commitment, the diligence, and the innovation with which America's rural hospitals approach the delivery of care within their community, said Troy Brown, network consultant for the Chartis Center for Rural Health. It's a tremendous honor to be able to recognize the efforts of this year's award winners and celebrate their achievements as part of National Rural Health Day. Kirby Medical Center is an independent, not-for-profit, acute care hospital that over the 80 years of caring for families in Piatt County and the surrounding areas has been nationally recognized many times for outstanding quality, patient satisfaction, and employee engagement. Congratulations once again to Kirby Medical Center. Next, we have some very uplifting news from the Piatt County Nursing Home. Jesse Green started working there as a CNA 20 years ago. In that time, he's worked with hundreds of elderly residents with all kinds of physical and mental challenges to achieve and maintain their highest level of personal functioning. In his most recent position as a restorative aide, he's putting his years of experience to good use. Jesse and his fellow restorative aide, Michelle Floyd, now host the most popular activity at the Piatt County Nursing Home. It isn't doing crafts or even the bingo games. It's, in fact, something that most people make up excuses to avoid, exercise class. In the dining room of the nursing home Monday through Friday for an hour, the class is filled with residents eager and motivated to exercise. This was not always the case. Before the COVID-19 epidemic, the exercise class had less than 6 people, but now the class has a regular average attendance of 22 people. When a resident was asked why the class is so popular, the resident said, "Jesse and Michelle make it fun. It's not like exercise." Green stated that he wanted to approach the class in a different way than what was done before. "Everyone gets to lead and have a part to play every day. We do things that include not just physical exercises, but mental activities as well." Green and Floyd have included music and dance, modeled exercises on everyday activities, and incorporated things like naming games to help residents utilize their cognition during activities. Green explains that not only does this provide the group with mental stimulation and focus, but it also holds a social aspect because the group gets to know one another. Executive Director says of Green, "Jesse brings the kind of personality that makes people want to participate. He's part salesman, part game show host, and part PE coach. In fact, Green and Floyd's class has become so popular that even family members of the residents are now attending on a regular basis." This concludes our reading of the December 11th edition of the Piatt County Journal Republican. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and we invite you to join us next week as we wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.